Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Back in November, we were in 1 Timothy. And now we'll go back and look at the second letter of Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, if you weren't here for our study of 1 Timothy, I urge you to go online and get that and listen to it. It won't take you all that long, about the length of a movie. So instead of turning on Netflix, just get at your computer and go through 1 Timothy. But now this is Paul's second letter. Why would he need a second letter? Didn't he say plenty in the first letter? Well, one of the things that he says is, I want to remind you of something, Timothy. He says, I want to remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. Now, I find this tremendously instructive, because apparently, living the Christian life as God intends is not automatic. Even if you're in ministry, which Timothy was in ministry, but he was reminded of something he already knew. You don't get reminded of something that's news to you. You never heard that before. He's being reminded of something he already knew, which is the necessity of stirring up, rekindling the gift that is in him. I love a fire. Love a fireplace. It's just something about it warms my soul, not just my body. But for years at my house, we joyfully brought in wood and put it in the fireplace and let it just go up in flames, and 80% of the heat went up the chimney. A couple of years ago, increasingly aware of my advanced years, I decided I needed to get a fireplace insert. It's basically a wood stove, a very efficient wood stove that goes into the fireplace, and you can stock it with wood. You get it going, you load it up with wood, and then you shut down the air intake. Do you know how Nebuchadnezzar was able to get the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal? Just adjusted the air intake. Okay? That's what controls how big your fire is and how hot your fire is. So with this thing, after you get the fire really going, you shut down the air intake, and that will burn for 8 hours. It is great. Because I figure my kids can get it going for me and then go to work for 8 hours and come back and reload it. Isn't that perfect? I've already got my retirement years envisioned. So that was the plan. Well, instead of having 80% of the heat go up the chimney, now 20% goes up the chimney, 80% comes out into the room. And so I'm looking around now for what door can I open in order to cool down? Because, you know, I'll sit there, and after a while, I sit real close to the thing, studying the Bible, trying to prepare for you folks. And I sit there, and I'm studying, and I begin to think, I am burning up. This is uncomfortable. And so I get up and go across the room and look at the thermostat, and it's 82 degrees. Well, I didn't dress for 82 degrees when it's in the teens outside. So, you know, we have a bit of an adjustment there. Now, why do I tell you that? Because the other day, we went longer than normally you go between reloading the wood. And you know what we had to do? We had to rekindle the fire. You couldn't just put the logs in there. We had to stir around, find some coals that were still red down underneath that white ash. And then, having put wood on that, my precious daughter took the bellows and sat in front of that thing, just going like this. She was rekindling the fire. She was getting it going again. You know what you and I need to realize? Is that if we're not careful, whether we're in ministry or not, we can get cold. You have to work at it. Even with a wood stove, even with something that lasts longer than an open fire, even when you do things right, you set it up and you've got good wood in there, you've got to work at least occasionally to stir that thing up, to get that fire going again. And that is, to a great extent, what's going on in this whole letter that Paul writes to Timothy. He's going to talk to him about various issues. He's going to address a whole bunch of stuff that's very instructive for us. But I want you to understand the reason he's having to address these things, the reason he's having to talk about this stuff, is because living the Christian life the way God intends is not automatic. Let me say that one more time. Living the Christian life the way that God intends is not automatic. If you thought you were going to get saved and then just do whatever feels right, you've made a big mistake. Because that's not the way it works. The Bible talks about it as spiritual warfare. Talks about it as running a race. Talks about it as fighting the good fight. There's work involved. Amen? And if you just didn't bargain on that, well, I thought Jesus paid it all. He did. And now the next phrase is, all to him I owe. Okay? It's not like, well, he paid for my sins, so I really, there isn't anything for me to do. There isn't anything for you to do in order to save yourself. There is a lot for you to do in order to serve him. because he wants to do things through you. And that requires obedience. And that means not doing what your flesh dictates. So, Paul writes to Timothy, this young minister whom he loves as a son, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will. Don't miss that phrase. An apostle by God's will. Why was Paul an apostle? He says later to Timothy, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, verse 9, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So why is Paul an apostle? Same reason he's saved. It's God's will. An apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly loved son. And then he says something that we tend to just cruise right past. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is an actual greeting from God. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, hey, God wanted me to give you something. This is from God for you. Grace, mercy, and peace. Whoa. I mean, if you really believe that, if you really receive that, that is life-changing. And Paul begins his letter by saying to Timothy, I have a message for you from God. He wants you to enjoy his grace. He wants you to enjoy his mercy. He wants you to enjoy his peace. That is refreshing. I mean, think about it.
Well, I wish that was for me.
Well, actually it is. For one thing, this isn't the only place that he says it. Sometimes he says it to all the saints. But here he's refreshing Timothy by telling him that is God's disposition toward you. If you are in Christ Jesus, God wants you to enjoy grace, mercy, and peace.
Folks, with current events, many of us are realizing all the more that our time on earth is temporary. While I have many on my heart that I pray will surrender to Jesus, I'm beginning to get very excited about soon spending forever with him. Can you relate? If you're like many of us who are rethinking our wills, I'd like to ask you to consider leaving a gift to support the kids at Wares Valley Ranch. We have a program called Legacy 145. It's based on Psalm 145:4. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. If participating in something that will pass on the gospel to future generations after you're in heaven interests you, go to wvr.org and click on the icon for Legacy 145. That's wvr.org and click on the Legacy 145 button. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand.
That's the message for Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says, sometimes I don't sleep well at night. Well, that's kind of the subtext. What he says is, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my ancestors, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. When you wake up in the middle of the night, what do? You know the best thing you can do? Pray. Use that time for prayer. I will not soon forget something that happened when I was about 8 years old. We showed up for church on Sunday morning. My dad was the pastor, and there was a guy, as we were walking in, there was a guy getting out of his car with his family several spots down. And the man called and said, "Mrs. Wood." We all kind of looked around, and he said, "Were you praying for me this morning at about 5 o'clock? And she said, "Yes, I was." And he said, "I knew it." He said, he had missed church for several weeks. And he said, "I woke up at 5 o'clock and I couldn't get back to sleep, and I thought, why can't I sleep? And suddenly I realized, Mrs. Wood is praying for you." And she said, "Well, I was. I prayed that you would wake up and not be able to fall back asleep until you resolved that you were going to bring your family to church this morning. Watch out." God will do that. He will do that. So, when you wake up and you can't sleep, pray. And he says, "Timothy, I want you to know, I've been praying for you night and day." It's not that he never slept. It's that when he was awake, Timothy was one of the ones that he prayed for faithfully. He prayed for Timothy night and day. And when he did, he didn't complain about it. He said, "I thank God every time I pray for you. I thank God every time I pray for you." One of the best things you can do when you're praying for somebody else, even if it's somebody who has done something that irritates you, is thank God for that person. Give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord. Instead of complaining, thank God for what's going on. "Well, I don't think that's realistic." Well, if anybody had reason to complain about the sufferings they went through, I think the Apostle Paul would definitely fit in that category. And he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to thank God all the time, in every situation, for all things. So we thank him even for the painful stuff? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because God's using it for good. There's a purpose and a plan. So, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." He says, "I remember your tears, and it makes me want to see you so that my heart will overflow with joy." Both of those, laughter and tears, joy and sorrow at parting, that's all good. It's okay. Emotion is not a bad thing. God wants us to express our love for him, our reverence for him, in ways that the Bible describes, which can be silence or shouting. It can be laughter or tears. It can be clapping your hands or raising them in the air or falling prostrate on the ground. You need to be free in the Lord to express to him the love that he's put in your heart. So, Paul says, "Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, now I'm convinced is in you also." Who's missing from that list? Timothy's dad. Timothy's grandfather. You've got three generations of faith, and until Timothy came along, the only examples of Christian faith in that family were the women. This is not an uncommon problem anywhere in the world at any point in church history. It's not the standard we're supposed to be aiming for, but frankly, it is the way things are sometimes. And if you grew up and the only good Christian you knew was mom or grandmom, That doesn't mean that somehow you're defective. Timothy was called into ministry coming out of a family like that, where his father didn't share the faith and his grandfather didn't share the faith. But nevertheless, Timothy had come to faith and he was serving the Lord. Therefore, I remind you, verse 6, to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. We already talked about that. You need to stir it up. Don't just let it cool off. Deliberately stir up the gift that is in you. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. I don't want to belabor this point, but I will tell you, and obviously this can be translated more than one way, but I'll tell you this, I believe there is such a thing as a spirit of fear, a demonic spirit that enslaves many people and that robs them of the confidence to do what God says. That is a real thing, it is a real problem, and it is something that needs to be overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Perfect love casts out fear. That kind of fear makes us afraid of doing what God says we're supposed to do. That's why it's such a problem. We become afraid of doing the right thing and somehow mysteriously not afraid of not doing the right thing. In other words, it's a lying spirit. It gets things totally backwards. I know this, I know this, I know this, but I feel this, so I can't go there. Now, if you walk in obedience to God, you will at times be attacked by a spirit of fear. And what that spirit of fear is going to try and tell you is that you can't do this because... And what you've got to do is recognize that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And that actually, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so it's not that if I'm a godly, spirit-filled person, I'm not going to feel fear at all. It's that if I am a godly, spirit-filled person, I'm going to do what God says and not let my feeling of fear control me. It's the difference between saying, how many of you would say this morning when you went outside you felt the cold? Okay? But you know what? You're not cold. You say, well, no, because I'm indoors. You weren't cold when you were outdoors. When you were walking to the car, walking from the car, your body remained about 98.6. Because God has made you to do that. Are you aware of your surroundings? It was cold, but it was cold, not you. The air was cold, you weren't cold. The ground was cold, you weren't cold. When you feel fear, don't embrace it and say, I'm afraid. Agree with God. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? I am not afraid. I feel fear, certainly. I am not afraid. I am the Lord's servant. And therefore, I will not let fear control my behavior. Amen? Amen? So, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But he has given us his spirit. And his spirit is one of power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Hallelujah. So, I can't. Oh, that's not true. I can. I can do what God tells me to do in his word. He's given me a spirit of power and of love. Do you ever encounter somebody and it just doesn't, you don't say, oh, I love them. But God loves them and he's given you his spirit. And his spirit is a spirit of love. And sound judgment, also translated a sound mind, also translated self-control. I'll go with any of those translations. This one says sound judgment. I like it. I think that's a good rendering. I've known friends who battled mental illness and they grabbed hold of this verse. They said from the old King James, God's given me a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I'm going to hold on to that. And God has helped them through their time of difficulty.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.